Hi, I'm Mary.
And I'm Martha.
And this is Kicks and Giggles.
Season 2, the 2025 Euros.
Yeah. Before we get into a quick recap of the first set of first round games, that's a lot of firsts. We want to talk about the tournament more generally. We think the people who listen to this are mostly Americans and Americans who are new. We're not even that new to soccer. Might be confused as to why the best team in the world isn't playing in this extremely elite tournament. I mean, it is literally there in the name. It's the European
Yes.
teams only.
True, true. Well, we are going to talk rules and vibes. And if you know Mary, you know she loves a rule. So take us through it, Mary. Tell us.
I do love a rule, especially rules that I make up. Let's not over index on all rules, but okay, so the Euros are actually a pretty simple tournament, especially if you consider them compared to last year's Olympics. It's four groups of four, and two teams out of each group will make it to the elimination stage, right? At that point, the tournament becomes single elimination. It's the standard, you know, bracket looking thing, and it goes straight to 8-4-2-1. Pretty basic, very easy to understand if you're an American. The thing that might be slightly complicated is tiebreakers in the group rounds, right? So in the Euros, if you win a game, you get 3 points. If you tie a game, because you can tie a game in soccer, you get one point. And if you lose, you get zero. So after each team has played the other, essentially three games total, you add up those points and the top two go on. If two teams come out of those first three games and they have the same point total, you have to go to a tiebreaker. And the tiebreaker that they use is called goal differential. It's exactly in the name, the amount of goals you have scored versus the amount of goals that have been scored against you. So in an example where Martha and I are in the same group, maybe Martha runs away with it, right? She beats all three teams. But I am tying someone else. We both each have lost to Martha. We tied each other and beat the other team. Sorry, the other team. If, for example, Martha beat my team 10-0 and beat this other person's team, let's call that team the Deborah Carolina team, 5-0, Deborah Carolina would go ahead. But if, for example, I had beaten that really bad team, I want to make a political joke, but I'm going to not do it just because I'm not coming up with one fast enough. If I had beaten them 2-0 and my tied person had only beaten them 1-0 or even 2-1, then I had the goal differential. So that is that first tiebreaker, which usually is enough to figure out which of the two teams moves them. Anyway, essentially, this is a straight up 16-8-4-2-1, and the top two teams from each group will move on to single elimination in the next round. Martha, that's the tournament. I don't think I should say nutshell because I feel like I just yammered on and still made it slightly murkier. But what are the vibes of the tournament?
All right. So we have four groups, and each group has their own little vibe. Honestly, when I first looked at it, I thought, oh, they're clumped by region, but I don't think that's the case. I think it was still like, you know, picking and choosing from a hat, depending on rank, stuff like that.
But it does,
group
but
A,
you're absolutely, I hadn't thought about it. You're absolutely right. It did sort of sort itself out into geographic parts of Europe.
It sort of did. So for example, group A, I call up the snowy people because like Iceland, Finland, Switzerland, Norway, I think of snow. For this group, honestly, there isn't really a standout that comes to mind. I mean, Norway's been there, but they haven't done it in a while. So
that's absolutely right.
we're a little bit I still question mark about them. However, Switzerland Maybe it's because they're hosts, but they did well. Like their first match against Norway, they lost, but they still held their own. I thought they looked good. And then they won their second match, which we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but so I don't know. I feel like we could see Switzerland kind of going through. But yeah, and that's great because it's in their home country, so it's fun. So that's kind of Group A. Group B is Mediterranean vibes-ish
Yeah, that's right.
plus chocolate. Like, hey,
Right.
so
So like the
in
group A is snowy countries plus chocolate. Not that Switzerland isn't, but like it's like Nordic countries plus chocolate. Now it's
yes,
Mediterranean plus chocolate. I like it. I like
plus
it.
chocolate. And so for these, the top one is Spain. Really, I thought that their first game was just so dominant. It just appeared that they were practicing, which I feel bad for Portugal, but it
Meh.
just seemed like they were just kind of practicing and training. So Spain, Portugal, Italy, and Belgium are in that group.
And let's just remind everyone that Martha said Italy was her underdog favorite, which is still the highlight of my week. So.
Hey, it could be. So Italy beat Belgium in their first game. I thought they looked good, could be better, but they look good. And of course, in their second game that we saw, well, we saw today, I really thought they were going to pull through. And then, I mean, Portugal's struggling, but they got one in. So it kind of all comes down to the last round of games when they play Spain. And as I was mentioning to Mary earlier, I hope they pull from their historic defensive tactics that Italy is known for and just holds the line for Spain. Okay.
Catenaccio, girls. Catenaccio.
So that's group two, or group B. Group C is Denmark, Sweden, Germany, and Poland.
No
So I
chocolate there. No chocolate.
no chocolate. Very, I feel like they're the stern countries, you
Yeah.
know, like they're stern, but you know how they unload with a lot of liquor. So or beer, whatever it, they imbibe. So for that group, Germany, I thought looked good. However, their captain went down with an injury, and I don't think she's coming back, Julia. And so I'm not sure how that's gonna look or how that's gonna be moving forward. And Sweden was also looking good, but Sweden is, well, at least between Mary and I, we get annoyed at Sweden
Yeah, I'm
just
not a
because
Sweden
of
fan. I don't like how they come up against the United States. It makes me mad.
yes, they come up a lot at the United States with the United States, and it's always a rough encounter. So we'll see how they match up in the following games. And that's Group C, and last but not least, Group D.
Her
Oh,
debt.
for death. Did they do that on purpose? I'm just realizing that now, or I'm really slow, but
No.
yeah.
Martha, remind us what is a group of death in soccer?
So the group of death in soccer is where potentially at least three out of the four are would be expected contenders for the title. Like, so three of the four are like the top teams, but we know that only two can move on. So a top team would be eliminated in the group of death. And so in this group, we have England, which won it the previous Euro. France, Netherlands, and that fourth team is Wales.
My underdog.
Wales,
Wales is my underdog.
yes. Wales has never been to an international tournament. This is their first time. So it's very exciting. But in their first game, they lost to the Netherlands 3-0. Now, the Netherlands also scored really late in the first half, so they weren't looking that great either. But I mean, they came through with,
Yeah,
of
but
course,
against the
Vivian.
weak team in, okay, yes, but like
Yes.
when you are conceivably and potentially the top of the group of death. But anyway, yes, go ahead. Talk about Viv Medima. Oh, I can't say her last name. Talk
Vivian
about Viv.
Miedema.
Okay, let's try it one more time. Viv
Miedema.
Medima. It's just it's. It looks like it should be Miedema, and it's not. It's Miedema.
Miedema.
I'm not good at Dutch.
Yeah, that's the Dutch. But you're right, like for a top team compared to Wales, could have been a higher score. Like I expected more goals early on, so who knows? Who knows
Yeah.
how they're going to fare? But the last game where it was France versus England, and again, England won the
Defending
Euros,
champions, yeah.
defending champions, right? Apparently, the commentators were like, oh, Serena Wiegman
See, the
was the
Dutch, Martha, the Dutch. It's not
Dutch.
easy.
Wiegman, she's the English coach, and she had not lost in like one of these types of tournaments.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like she had a really long streak, and as we are alluding to, England lost. France got two goals, England got one goal. It was a surprise.
Yeah.
Also, this is where I just have beef with VAR.
Oh, say more.
Okay, so this is not an excuse because when this happens, like you cannot get deflated because this, of course, will happen in soccer where you think you have scored a goal and it might get pulled back because you're offsides. So the first goal, well, England scored first and scored meaning poke
Yeah.
because they called it back.
Right.
And after that, just England just wasn't enthusiastic, didn't play as strong, but that goal deflated them, but it may have encouraged France to like fight even harder.
Sure.
So when they actually finally looked at the VAR saying that a player was offsides, Mary, I had to look at that VAR picture a really long time to
I hate when that
understand
happens.
how, because the defending arm, right, was further out towards the
But the foot
goal,
wasn't.
but the foot wasn't. So it was the foot and maybe like a hip piece that was offsides.
I
If we didn't have VAR, that
Right.
would have counted.
Well, and frankly, I am grateful for the existence of VAR in the sense that, especially with like red cards or blatant
Oh, yes.
offsides
Yes.
where the goal went in, but like the linesman was looking the wrong way or the ref was running back too fast or whatever, I get it. But I hate, and this has happened a lot, I think, with VAR, right? One, it adds, I want to say decades of minutes, which I don't think is an expression, but I'm going to say it anyway. Tens of
Yes.
minutes to
Yes.
the end of games, especially in these situations where they have to watch and watch and watch and watch and watch. And it's not in keeping with the spirit of the game. I think a good analogy is handballs, in that once the handball rule sort of became more intent versus like it used to be, if your hand touched that ball in the box, they got a, someone got a penalty kick down. They're
Yes.
like, well, your hand was on the way behind. And I hate that because like you still got an advantage by smacking the ball down in the box when it was on its way into a goal. And I think that like there are a lot of problems with the way that soccer was played, I'm sure, in the way that I was taught to play. But I really don't like some of the changes they've made that feel like they've pulled away from the spirit of the game. If you hit a ball in the box with your hand, that's a clear advantage to the defender, right? If
Yes.
the offsides is so hard to tell that someone who has watched soccer her whole life has to look at it, or a ref, a referee team has to spend 10 minutes looking at it, give them the goal. Like, I get it. I get it. If I was a France fan, I'd be arguing the opposite way. I'm not trying to say I'm not a
Yes.
hypocrite,
Yes.
but I do think it's taken something away from the game.
Yeah. So that they took away that goal, but again, it just seemed like they were deflated. And then after that, they just didn't play coordinated, or they weren't very coordinated. And on the flip side, France all of a sudden was like, oh no, we can't let this happen. And they kicked into high gear. And I think a lot of people, for example, both France and England in this tournament, didn't have players that they had in the last tournament. So England, some players for health reasons and also that they wanted to retire, did not return to the team. In France, one of their like big defenders that I remember, Wendy Reynard,
I mean,
didn't
like, not
get.
just like big, like Wendy Renard is like is French women's soccer.
Yes, and she didn't get a call up. And so a lot of people were a little bit suspicious as to the defense of France. But honestly, I did not see, like, maybe it was bad passing for England, and it could have also been great defensive strategy on France. Because every time the English try to get to midway point, they would get intercepted. They could not get a second pass. Like, it was stripped from them at the midline. And you can see, well, I saw as the game progressed, that back line moved up and up and up closer to the English side because they lost the ball so quickly. And then the goals that the French made, they were also great. They did a nice cross in, similar to how the US has been playing, kind of like running up the side, crossing it down the middle, and having a person there. They look
Where was I?
great.
You texted me during this game. If it isn't immediately obvious to everyone listening, Martha saw the vast majority of these games compared to me. But I must have been on a plane back or something. You texted me in the middle of the England France game and said something like, I'm watching this and thinking about the US and like how we would stack up against them, and their and France is looking good. France is looking very USy. You didn't say that. I'm saying that, but
Yes,
that scares
I
me.
think
I don't love that. I don't usually
I don't.
see France as a threat.
No, I don't. So there was this one defensive player, Elise. She had short hair and she was playing on the right side. And again, she was blocking all those passes. She was getting to that forward. She was not. And then towards the end, she was getting even she was getting up the courage. She was running up the ball. Like, she just wouldn't stay
That's
there and
great.
was trying to make plays. And so, yeah, kind of like how we do have defensive players. And then we also have defensive players that could bring up the ball and make plays. So, which in a lot of these games, it just felt very, well, not as dynamic as the US.
Sure. I mean, who could be?
I know. And sometimes, and that's the thing, like sometimes when I watch the US do this very dynamic, I'm always afraid that they're going to lose it. Oh no, someone could just take that ball right away and someone could strip it. And then I look at these players, I'm like, oh, except for Spain, no one has the speed to do it.
That's right. That's fair. That's a great point, actually.
So yeah, reflecting on all the games that I've seen, just makes me feel good about the US and how it's, how it's developing talent. But, also giving me insight into what teams are very traditional and then what teams are adjusting to different styles of play.
I love it. Thank you for that. I'm gonna do a quick run through of the scores just to the I'm gonna pretend that the games, the round two games have not happened, although we are recording on Monday and two of the 4 days have happened. But for now, Martha went through a lot of the like highlights, but in Group A, Finland beat Iceland 1-0. As Martha said, Norway beat Switzerland, but it was only 2-1. In Group B, Spain beat Portugal 5-0. Woof. And Italy beat Belgium 1-0. In Group C, Sweden came out over Denmark 1-0. And Germany, despite losing their captain, beat Poland 2-0. And then lastly, in Group D, the Netherlands beat Wales 3-0. And France ended up beating England 2-1. Martha, in addition to the stuff you've highlighted, are there any takeaways like going into round two? Again, let's pretend that we don't know. Unless if you want to predict the scores for the first 2 days, that would be very funny for me. But other than Spain's dominance, right? Are there any other key takeaways you'd want us to be looking at going into round two?
Into round two, I think again,
Or set to round one, you know what I mean? The next set of The next group stage games.
the next group stage games, I'm looking forward to, seeing how Switzerland goes to the end, like in those games. Spain is going to Spain. I think Germany and Sweden will continue their streak, and for England and Netherlands, whew, I think if they do not win, and I think they may just be def I don't know how they're going to react. Their team has had drama, and if that drama shakes them up, the Netherlands could take it. France just, I think France is going to come out on top. I
I
mean,
don't I
if
think Wales is going to
Wales,
beat France. I think Wales is going
okay.
to beat France, and then Group D is going to be thrown into chaos.
I mean, we could also call it the drama group
Indeed,
because
for
there was a lot of
drama.
drama.
Both on and off the field, frankly. So
Yes.
I love that. Okay. Those are great key takeaways. I am excited to see what happens, especially in Group C and D, because we do know what happened in Groups A and B. Okay. Before I get to a question, Martha, one thing I want to highlight is that our next episode, I think we're going to probably try to record Thursday and put out Friday morning, which will be in the midst of the third set of games. But what we're going to try and cover, because we talked, Martha and I, she and I, you and I talked about this earlier, is a little bit more of the interpersonal stuff in the Euros. So definitely tune in later this week, because we'll do round two of the group stage, but also, talk about who's shtupping who and the history of that women's soccer. But for now, Martha, I have a question.
Yes.
What was the scoreline that surprised you the most in the first set of group stage games?
I mean, the one that comes to mind, obviously, for me is France. That's the one that shocked me, but I think shocked a lot of people.
Including Serena Wiegman, probably.
Yes. So that was a big shock to me. A nice surprise. And honestly, I didn't know coming into this. I'm glad Italy beat Belgium.
Forza Azzurra. I
What scoreline
think,
surprised you?
yeah, I think the Netherlands, Wales. I've been so focused on that group of death that I kind of, especially after Spain dominated Portugal. Obviously, I think Wales would be a great Cinderella story, period. End of story. It's what I said the other day. But to your point, this is their first international tournament. Wales is an interesting country. It's like a country that is always dwarfed by England. They have spirit, but the Netherlands has insane talent and history sort of on their side. I mean, also just like, we could talk about all these Netherlands players. And to cut, I mean, a 3-0 score is not nothing. I don't mean to take anything away from the Netherlands, but the way it went down and the fact that it wasn't a 5-0 blowout does sort of keep, especially with the score France England, it does keep my hopes alive that like they somehow, I like, right? All they need to do is beat France and all of a sudden it's anybody's game. So
Anybody's game.
I would say that. If you have questions for us, you can always email us at Kicks and Giggles 2024 at gmail.com. That's Kicks, the letter N is in Netherlands, Giggles 2024 at gmail.com.
All right, Mary, I will be watching the rest of the games. And I
Yes.
hope you all do too.
Yes. I mean, I am excited to talk about the last 2 days of games because I have some thoughts, but we will talk about it on Thursday. We'll talk about it on Thursday.
Yes. And we will also talk about, relationships.
But not like, don't, I mean, you can email questions about relationships, but like, they better be funny questions because I don't have any good advice. This
Oh,
isn't a
not
call-in
a.
show.
Oh, no, this is not like, sorry. Yeah, if you don't have any questions, but like, if you want us to dig into the relationship between players and
Oh, yeah.
find out the drama, send us that. Or if you know
We
the
are your
drama,
girls. Yes.
please let us know.
The drama, it loves us. And also, frankly, we love the drama. Group D for
Yes.
drama.
Group D for drama.
All right. See you guys soon.
See you. Bye.
Bye.